Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday. We just began yesterday a marvelous series on the fruit of the Spirit, and actually it came after last week's series on the gifts of the Spirit. If you've missed any of that, log on to our website at derekprince.org. Now today, Derek is going to take us into the topics of joy and peace, and I love what he's about to say, because you know what? I have a tendency, like a lot of us, to think of joy and peace as emotions that result from certain conditions. You know, I win the lottery, I feel a lot of joy. I'm sitting by the ocean, I feel a lot of peace. But Derek's going to teach us today that joy and peace are fruits of the Spirit, that they can be cultivated 24/7 in our lives. Man, if I could walk in joy and peace for the rest of my life, that would be a great blessing, and it's one that God intends for us. So let's listen as Derek Prince teaches us on the fruit of the Spirit, and specifically about joy and peace.
This week I'm sharing with you on a very rich and beautiful theme, the fruit of the Spirit, the 9 forms of spiritual fruit that are listed in Galatians chapter 5. Yesterday I dealt with the first form of fruit, the fruit of love. Today I'm going to speak about the second form of fruit, the fruit of joy. Joy is a beautiful word. When God blesses parents with a beautiful baby girl, a name that they often choose for her is joy. Altogether, there's something beautiful about joy. However, in order to experience its beauty in our lives, we need to understand the real nature of joy. And in order to understand that, we have to know something about human personality. The Bible reveals that total human personality is made up of 3 distinct areas: spirit, soul, and body. Paul states this in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where he says this: "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice, when Paul talks about our entire personality, he specifies 3 distinct areas: the spirit, the soul, and the body. Now, there is a different type of satisfaction for each area of our personality. And if we understand this, we can begin to understand the true nature of joy. For the body, the type of satisfaction that we look for, I would call pleasure. In the soul, the type of satisfaction that we look for, I would call happiness. But in the spirit, the type of satisfaction which we look for, I would call joy. So pleasure is in the body, happiness is in the soul, and joy is in the spirit. It's important to distinguish between happiness and joy as I've defined them there. Of course, they can be used differently, but I'm just choosing to use them that way to bring out this distinction. What then is the difference between happiness and joy? Well, let me give you a very simple, everyday example of happiness. It's a young man in his new sports car. His girlfriend is beside him. It's a beautiful spring day. He's driving down a beautiful highway. Everything's going right. The birds are singing. He's got money in his pocket. His girlfriend is holding his hand. He's very happy. But now let's change the scene. Let's look at the same young man. His beautiful sports car has broken down. His girlfriend has jilted him. It's a cold winter day. It's raining. And he has no money. Do you think he's happy now? Definitely not. His happiness has evaporated. Why? Because happiness depends on circumstances. But the great fact you need to grasp is this: joy does not depend on circumstances. You say, how can that be? The answer is because joy depends on something that never changes with situations or circumstances or finances or the weather. There's only one source of joy, and that is God Himself. And because God never changes, joy never needs to change either. Now, if we're living only in the realm of the body and the soul, we can know pleasure and we can know happiness, but we cannot know joy. For joy has only one source, and that's God. Joy comes from a direct, personal, continuing relationship with God. Without that relationship, it is impossible to know true joy. Now I want to give you the testimony of some men who found the secret of joy. I want to give it to you in their own words. The first man is, of course, the psalmist David. Listen to what he says in Psalm 43, verse 4. The background to this psalm is that David is oppressed, his enemies are after him, he's under pressure of circumstances, things are not going well, the future is very uncertain. So he makes a decision, and this is his decision. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre shall I praise thee, O God, my God. David says to himself, in effect, what's the way out of all these troubles? Where's the answer? And he says, there's one place I have to go to. It's the altar of God. When I get to the altar, I can begin to worship and praise God. My contact with God will be renewed, and my joy will be restored. And notice what David says about God. He says, God, my exceeding joy. So David's joy was not in any situation or circumstance or experience or achievement or blessing, but his joy was in his God. And he said of God, my exceeding joy. Do you have that kind of relationship with God? So that in the middle of all trouble and pressure, the way is still open for you to receive joy. The channel between you and God is clear. And even if you're not happy and you're not experiencing pleasure, and everything around you is dark and insecure, you still have joy. Joy in your spirit, because your spirit is in direct contact with God's spirit, the source of joy. In Romans chapter 5, Paul states an interesting progression of joy. In verse 2, he says, we exult or we hope or rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The first source of our joy is hope of the glory of God. The next statement in verse 3 is rather surprising to the natural mind. He says, we also exult in our tribulations, in our troubles. We joy in them. How could that be? Well, in the verses that follow, Paul explains it. Because tribulation produces certain results in our character which cannot be produced in any other way. And so even though we don't like the tribulation, we joy in it, we exult in it, because we know what it's doing to our character. But the third stage of the progression is in verse 11 of Romans 5, where Paul says this, and not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. The ultimate climax of exaltation, of joy, is in God himself. And of course, as I've said already, that can never be taken away from you. I would say the mark of true spiritual maturity is to find your joy in God himself, not in an experience or a blessing or a provision, although all those things are wonderful, but in God himself.
I love the fact that Derek is teaching us that the fruit of the Spirit comes out of an intimate relationship with the Father. I love the fact that he quotes David as saying, God, my exceeding joy, and that joy comes out of having a close relationship with God. Thank the Lord that he changes us through our intimacy with him. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
In the newly released book, You Shall Receive Power, Derek Prince explores the often misunderstood gifts of the Holy Spirit. In his classic, biblically based, and step-by-step style, Derek reveals how God's powerful gift given to believers during Pentecost continues to this very day. How does the Holy Spirit operate? What are the signs that the Holy Spirit is alive and active? What does it really mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now Derek's newest book, You Shall Receive Power, answers these and other questions about the Holy Spirit and its place in every believer's life. And the new book is available for only $9.95. To order your copy, simply call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261.
In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit brings comfort, discernment, direction, and power. Discover for yourself how the power of the Holy Spirit can be alive in you. Order your copy of You Shall Receive Power and let the timely and practical insight found within these pages help you grasp the nature and purposes of this life-changing gift from God. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thank you for being here. We're in a marvelous series on the fruit of the Spirit, and Derek is just about to teach us about the fruit of peace. Now, most of us think that peace comes from the absence of conflict, but peace is something more, something higher, and something that we desperately need as believers in our generation. Let's listen as Derek teaches us.
Today, I'm going to deal with the third form of the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of peace. From the negative point of view, peace implies the end or the absence of conflict. Certainly, there can be no peace where there is conflict. But to end conflict requires reconciliation. It's important to see that. We who are so familiar today in the world with wars tend to think of peace as coming usually when one side has defeated the other. But that really isn't peace. True peace only comes when the two opposing persons or nations or whatever they may be have been reconciled with one another. So where there has been conflict, peace is made possible only through reconciliation, through bringing the warring parties together and taking away the war and the enmity in their hearts. Now, conflict was introduced into the universe originally by sin. First of all, the sin of Satan, the fallen angel, and then by the sin of the human race on earth. Sin has introduced various forms of conflict. There is conflict between God and man because man is at war with God and out of harmony with God, but there's also conflict between man and man. There is war, disharmony, strife everywhere in the human race, in families, in nations, and internationally. To achieve peace, we have to have reconciliation. Reconciliation was achieved by God once and for all through the death of Jesus on the cross. But apart from the reconciliation that has been provided through the death of Jesus, there is no other way to peace. Listen to what Isaiah the prophet says, chapter 53, verse 5. And I believe that this was a prophetic preview of the sufferings of Jesus on our behalf. It says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Notice that central phrase, "the punishment that brought us peace was upon him." As long as our crimes and iniquities had not been dealt with, there was no possibility of peace because there was no reconciliation. But Jesus paid the penalty for our crimes. He took upon himself the punishment that was due to us. In this way, God's divine justice was satisfied, and the way was made open for us to enter into peace, peace with God. Just let me quote that phrase again. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, Paul deals with the same theme, the reconciliation between God and man that was achieved through the atoning death of Jesus on the cross. This is what Paul says. "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," that is Jesus, "and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." The purpose of the death of Jesus was reconciliation. God, through it, made peace, but the making of that peace required the shedding of the blood of Jesus. Only by his life, sacrificially laid down on our behalf, was it possible for us to experience reconciliation with God. Now, there are two beams to the cross. vertical and horizontal. Each beam represents a certain relationship. The vertical beam, the up and down beam, represents our relationship with God, but the horizontal beam represents our relationship with our fellow men. Now, through the cross, both relationships have been healed. Reconciliation is extended in both directions, first from God to man, and secondly between man and man. Let's look at the first direction of reconciliation, that which is represented by the vertical beam. In Romans 5:1, Paul says this, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Once we have been acquitted of our guilt through the death of Jesus, we have peace with God." Reconciliation has been achieved with God. That brings peace. Now let's look at the horizontal beam, the relationship between man and man. In Ephesians 2:14 and 15, Paul says this of Jesus, "For he himself is our peace, who hath made both groups into one," that is primarily Jews and Gentiles, "and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall." By his death, Jesus broke down the barrier between man and man. "By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace." Notice the peace here is on the horizontal plane. It's between one man and another man. Jesus, through his death on the cross, broke down the barriers that divided and separated humanity and made possible peace between men. Because of this, humanity can never know true peace except through the cross. There is no other way to peace, whether it be for individuals, for families, for nations, for the whole human race.
I want you to think for just a moment about how an absence of peace in our generation is killing people, is tearing up families, tearing up nations. But the Bible says that with Jesus Christ and through the cross, we can have peace. Not only peace in our hearts and peace with God, but peace with other men. Let's cultivate the fruit of peace. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
In the newly released book, You Shall Receive Power, Derek Prince explores the often misunderstood gifts of the Holy Spirit. In his classic, biblically based, and step-by-step style, Derek reveals how God's powerful gift given to believers during Pentecost continues to this very day. How does the Holy Spirit operate? What are the signs that the Holy Spirit is alive and active? What does it really mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now Derek's newest book, You Shall Receive Power, answers these and other questions about the Holy Spirit and its place in every believer's life. And the new book is available for only $9.95. To order your copy, simply call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit brings comfort, discernment, direction, and power. Discover for yourself how the power of the Holy Spirit can be alive in you. Order your copy of You Shall Receive Power and let the timely and practical insight found within these pages help you grasp the nature and purposes of this life-changing gift from God. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we're in the final portion here of today's teaching on the fruit of the Spirit. And what's coming up is so vital that once Derek is through teaching it, I want to really massage it into our lives. It has to do with peace, with conflict, with our intimacy with God, and how it transforms our lives. Let's listen as Derek teaches us on the fruit of peace.
I want to suggest to you that there are two keys to peace. The first key is God's government. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7, this prophecy is given of the Messiah. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. Notice the relationship between God's government and peace. Notice also the order. God's government comes first, and then peace. Only those who are under God's government can know peace. Those who reject God's government never know true peace. Often in the Bible, the gospel is referred to as the gospel of the kingdom of God. Gospel means good news. What is the good news? The good news is that God is prepared to govern us, to set up his kingdom over our lives, and that when he does this, we can have peace. But without God's government, there can be no peace. The second key to peace, I believe, is hearing and obeying God's voice. In Isaiah 48:18, God speaks to his people Israel, and he reminds them of what they could have had if they'd walked in obedience to him. This is what he says: "If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea." So what's the key to peace like a river? Paying attention to God's commands, listening to what God says, and then doing it. The same principle is carried right over into the New Testament. In John chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus says about his disciples, his true followers, this: "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." What is the mark of a true disciple of Jesus? It's not a denominational label. It's not even a certain doctrinal stand. It's this: "My sheep hear my voice and follow me." What are the two things that mark out the true believer, the true disciple of Jesus? First of all, hearing his voice, and secondly, following him. And that brings peace. Jesus said to those who do this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." I'm glad it's not as the world gives, because that's not very enduring or stable or lasting. So what are the two requirements for peace? First, reconciliation through the cross with God and with man. Second, hearing and obeying God's voice.
You know, at the end of yesterday's teaching, I urged you to take a sort of a fruit inspection in your life and to see if you're allowing aspects of your personality to define you as opposed to allowing the fruit of the Spirit to define you. I want to hone in that very same way on this idea of peace. Take a moment right now, wherever you are, and look at your life. Is your life defined by an absence of peace with men? Or is your life filled with strife, broken relationships, anger, bitterness? Do you avoid going places because you might run into people with whom you have a broken relationship? Do you look at your life's path and see a constant absence of peace with other people? Given what Derek has taught us, it could very well be that an absence of peace with men is due to an absence of peace with God. If you truly walk in an intimate, peace-inducing relationship with the Father, isn't it natural and understandable and expected that you would have peace with men? I want you to take a moment to think about this, and I want you, even when this broadcast is done today, to really reflect on your life and to see if you are walking with other men peacefully as much as it lies within you. This is a major issue for some of you who are listening to this show, and I believe that God wants to show you a higher path to walk. Listen, there's so much more to come throughout this week as Derek continues to teach us, but that's all the time we have for now. So for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order Derek's new book, You Shall Receive Power. Available to Derek Prince Legacy Radio listeners for only $9.95. Call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Take a moment to jot down our toll-free number, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can request your copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.